I'm going to read from the last two books I've written. And the first one, I find it slightly difficult to read from because it's about a, it's basically a book of griefs and arguments with the self. The first poem I want to read is called The Bridge. It was originally called The New Nihilist. And I suppose I've been having an argument about language with myself, about just simply the fact that so many theorists at this point in time seem to debunk the possibility of the narrative, for instance. Basically, the idea being that you can't eat the word peanut butter. Those are two words. You can't eat those two words off the word sandwich, you know. And I feel drawn to that idea and at the same time disgusted by it, because I think many times that the people who are theorists want to reduce people. And I suppose that argument enters a fairly simple narrative here about a heroic young man and the limitations of heroism. It's called The Bridge. These fulsome nouns, these abbreviations of the air, are not real, but two of them may fit a small man I knew in high school who, seeing an accident, stopped one day, leapt over a mangled guardrail, took a mother and two children from a flooded creek, and lifted them back to the world. In the dark, I do not know, there is no saying, but he pulled them each up a tree, which was not the tree of life, but a stooped Alabama willow, flew three times from the edge of that narrow bridge, as though from the selfless shore of a miracle, and came back to the false name of a real man, Arthur Peverhouse. He could sink a set shot from 30 feet. One night I watched him field a punt and scat behind a wall of blockers like a butterfly hovering an outhouse. He did not love the crashing of bodies. He did not know that mother and her three children, but went down one huge breath to their darkness. There is no name for that place. You cannot find them following a white chain of bubbles down the muddy water of these words. But I saw where the rail sheared from the bridge, which is not real since it was replaced by a wider bridge. Arthur Peverhouse weighed 120 pounds. Because he ran well in the broken field, men said he was afraid. I remember him best at a laboratory table, holding a test tube up to the light, arranging equations like facts. But the school is air over a parking lot. You are too far from that valley for it to come all the way true, although it is not real. Not 2 miles from that bridge, one afternoon in March in 1967, one of my great uncles, Clyde Maples, a farmer and a commissioner of roads, and his neighbor, whose name I have forgotten, pulled more than 100 crappies off 3 stick-ups in that creek. Though the creek is not real, and the valley is a valley of words, you would need Clyde Maples to find Arthur Peverhouse. And you would need Clyde Maples' side yard of road graders and bulldozers to get even part of Clyde Maples. Need him like the crappies needed those stick-ups in the creek to tell them where they were. Every spring that creek darkens with runoff of hog lots and barns, spreading sloughs, obscuring sorghum and corn. On blind backwater, full school buses roll down buried roads. Arthur Peverhouse was smart to run from the huge tackles, and unthinking to throw himself into that roiling water and test the reality of his arms and his lungs. Many times I've thought everything I have said or thought was a lie, moving some blame or credit by changing a name, even the color of a lip or bush. But whenever I think of the lie that stands for truth, I think of Arthur Peverhaus, and not his good name, but him deciding as that car settled to the bottom to break free and live for at least one more moment upward toward light and the country of words, while the other child, the one he could not save, shrugged behind him in the unbreakable harness. Such a cheery poem, I think. I feel beset upon by woe having read it.